The epistle for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers of me, and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life, in the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a rout, he said, give place, for the daughter is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that country. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead that they may be released from their sins. And these words are taken from the book of Maccabees, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, after his great conversion to the Catholic faith, St. Augustine went back to his home in Milan. And he went back to Milan to visit his mother, St. Monica, as he was soon beginning his studies to become a priest. And so touching and memorable was his visit with his mother, the mother and the son, that St. Augustine even wrote about it in his autobiography. You see, the two loved each other very much. And they both loved God. And so they talked about holy things. They talked about the life the saints would have in heaven. And the mother and son agreed, as St. Augustine writes, they agreed that the joys of this earth would not even compare to the life in heaven. With such a good, loving Catholic mother, you can imagine how sad St. Augustine must have been when sometime afterwards he was summoned to Ostia because his mother was dying. And Saint Monica called Augustine to her bedside, and she said, "My son, I know that I shall soon pass from this earth. When I am gone," Saint Monica said, "pray for the repose of my soul. Do not forget me, who have loved you so much." And St. Monica, knowing that her son was soon to become a priest, she added, "Especially think of me when you are at the altar and about to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass." St. Augustine, no doubt, taking his mother's hands and his eyes filled with tears, promised his mother that he would never cease to pray for her. And St. Monica passed away soon after. How glorious St. Monica's judgment must have been, not only because of her virtuous life, but because at her judgment she could say, "I am the mother of a priest. I am the mother of another Christ," as the priest is often called. How glorious it will be for any parent when, at their judgment, they can say, "I am the mother or father who supported my child's religious vocation. I am the mother or father of that priest, that brother, or that sister." How the divine judge will look on that great sacrifice that those parents made in giving their child back to God. A sacrifice that even the Blessed Mother made in giving Christ to us. And how the divine judge will bless those parents for having cooperated with his grace. Now, St. Augustine, as he tells us, he was, of course, quite heartbroken at the death of his mother. But he remembered his promise to her, and he never ceased to pray for her. St. Augustine wrote his prayer. He wrote, "O God of mercy, forgive my mother the faults which she may have committed." Even though St. Monica lived a very saintly life, St. Augustine nevertheless remembered his mother at every Mass. He prayed for her because she asked for it, and because he truly loved her, and in his love for her, his mother, he never forgot her. How often it is that people today forget about their loved ones who have passed away. And even among Catholic people, there is at times, on account of our human nature, we have this tendency to forget about them, to forget about our loved ones. But St. Augustine did not forget his mother. And he remembered her at Mass to ensure that she was in heaven, because St. Augustine knew the value of the Mass, especially for the faithful departed. You see, my dear faithful, there is no greater prayer than the holy sacrifice of the Mass, especially for the faithful departed. As one author puts it, the Mass is the most efficacious means of relieving the holy soul. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas says that one of the effects of the Mass is to alleviate the pain of the poor souls in purgatory. And that is why St. Monica requested her son to remember her at his Masses. And praying for the faithful departed, my dear faithful, is so important that it's actually a part of every Mass. A few moments after the consecration of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, The priest begins a prayer that is called the memento. Memento in Latin means remembrance, for this prayer is the remembrance of the faithful departed. And as the priest joins his hands, the priest silently prays to himself. He prays, "Be mindful also, O Lord, of thy servants, who have gone before us with the sign of faith, and who sleep the sleep of peace." And then, pausing for a moment, the priest is instructed to look upon the Eucharistic body of Christ resting upon the altar before him. And here the priest silently remembers the faithful departed whom he wishes to pray for in particular. At times the priest remembers a close family member or a close friend. Sometimes it is the soul of the departed of a certain chapel or his parish. And after these few moments, the priest finishes this prayer with the words in Latin. He says, "To these, O Lord," that is to the names that the priest has specifically remembered, "to these and to all who rest in Christ, grant a place of refreshment, light, and peace." The memento in the Mass is where St. Augustine would have remembered his mother as he offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass. My dear faithful, we are a little more than halfway through November. And as we are approaching the end of the month of November, the month dedicated to the faithful departed, we must remember that this does not mean that we have come to the end of our prayers for the holy souls in purgatory. Just as the priest remembers that the faithful departed every day when he offers Mass, so too should we pray for the holy souls, if not every day, at least very often. Let us, my dear faithful, not forget them. In fact, let us even make our own mementos, or in English, remembrances. And we can make our own memento at Mass along with the priest. We can take a few moments while attending Mass to think of those souls whom we wish to offer the Mass for. During our Holy Communion, when we have our Divine Savior close to our hearts, let us ask our King to hasten our loved ones on to paradise. And we can even make our own memento each day. That is, taking a moment or two in our day to offer some prayers for our loved ones and for those souls who are so often forgotten. We can do this during our morning or evening prayers, or even throughout the day when passing by a cemetery, or even during our family rosary. During our family rosary, we can recommend our loved ones who have gone before us to the loving care of Mary, our mother. But my dear faithful, as we do this act of charity for the poor souls, let us, as we are approaching the end of the church year, let us also recall our own death and judgment. For the church teaches us the great truth that death will come for us all, and how we must live each day, striving as best as we can to save our soul, to ensure the salvation of our children's souls, so that our family will not be separated by death, but rather death will unite our family together forever in heaven. My dear faithful, we will not want to be forgotten if we are in purgatory, And so let us not forget the holy souls. How good our God is, and how much the Sacred Heart really loves us. Because through the Mass and the sacraments, He gives us the means to not only save our own soul, but to help the souls of others and to speed them on their way to heaven. And so, my dear faithful, may we then in our charity remember our families and all the poor souls in purgatory, ever mindful of the words of the Holy Ghost. It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.